I thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought of myself as a mighty big man.
All stand. And what a hand to hold us in any time that we're walking.
Amen.
Even when we were in the womb, he was holding us.
Yeah.
He holds the world in his hand. There's a song after that.
Amen.
But we're so thankful that it's a steady hand.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's just sing Word of God of Ever True as Brother Aaron comes this evening. Amen. Are you happy in the Lord this evening? I hope you come expecting to hear from Him. You know, we know that whatever we expect and what we put in, pulling on the Word with our faith is what we get out of it. Amen. Holy words, long
bless you tonight. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord, see each one of you.
Amen.
See Brother Bruce and the family. Mm-hmm. All the smiling faces. Amen. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. And if you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to two places in the Scripture. And we're going to go to the book of Judges, chapter 2, and then we're going to go to Exodus 34. And before we read the scripture tonight, let's just all bow our heads and speak to the author. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all your blessings on us, Lord, that we're able to gather with those of like precious faith, Lord, gather in your name. In your midst, Lord, you said, well, two or three gathered in my name, I'll be there in the midst, Lord. And we just welcome you in tonight, Father. We just pray that you just have your will and way with us tonight. Give us the words to speak.
Yes.
Lord, anoint our lips to speak and our ears and our hearts to receive from you, Lord Jesus. Lord, and those who will be watching in tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray you be with them, touch them.
Amen.
Lord, there's many that are needy, Lord, have many that are sick and afflicted. Father, you know what all the needs are, Lord. We're so glad we have a great God that has all the answers, Lord.
Yeah.
Whatever the need is, Lord, you are the answer to it. Whatever the situation is, you are the answer to it.
Amen.
Lord, we just commit ourselves into your hands tonight. And Lord, we just thank you for all your blessings on us. We can't thank you enough. We just want to say that we love you because you first loved us.
Yes.
Father, we just commit ourselves into your hands in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 2, and we're going to begin at verse 15. And it says, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way.
Amen.
Amen. And then we're going to go to Exodus and chapter 34. And we're going to read just a few verses here. And beginning at verse 4. And it says, "And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, knowing mercy, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will be by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation.'" Amen. You may be seated tonight. So tonight I want to talk about the ways of the fathers. And since we just had Father's Day, and this time of year there's a lot of information that goes out on the social media and the news all about fathers, and so thank God that we have godly fathers. Amen. Christian fathers. Thank God we have a heavenly Father.
Amen.
Who leads us and guides us. But here, in the scripture, just to lay a foundation. When you look back in the scripture here, and you see in the book of Judges, and I was looking at some things the other day, and the scripture came to me, and because here they are, and we look at the life of the children of Israel all the way from the beginning all the way through, and you see how each one of the generations as they came through from the beginning, every one of them had their opportunity to serve with God and had someone to lead them and speak to them and all the way from the beginning, and you see how all this took place, and yet they walked away from it in every instance. They would go to God and they worship God, they followed God. But at their times when they got lax and, they didn't have anybody, right, then all of a sudden the first thing they did, they went right back to the same thing that they were doing before.
Right.
And, they kept following their own old ways and, whatever the latest fashion was, whatever the latest trend was, whoever they were around, they just associated with all these people and never kept their distance from these things, even though the scripture tells us that God told them, listen, when you go into this land and you go through these places, you stay away from the heathen and all of these, he said, because I'm going to protect you from all of these,
right,
the different groups that are there, the Amorites and the Hittites and the Hivites, all the ones that were there. And he said, I'm going to protect you. And even though when they were, the scripture tells us that they were even afraid of going certain directions and having to face them, yet God said, I'll be with you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to lead you. And because I have a place for you.
Right.
And yet all the time that they were doing this, God had a place for them, had a way for them to travel, and yet they didn't follow it.
Right.
And it said, here they are. He said, they bowed down. They all the time worshiping all these gods and all the way through. And yet the judgment of God was always there.
Yep, right.
But here when in Exodus, when we see that when Moses was there and Moses was interceding with the people and, God was leading them, had called Moses to deliver the people and to bring them in. And we see how God always was faithful to them, always had a way for them, always took care of their needs. Everything that they had need of, God was always taking care of it. They didn't lack anything.
That's right.
And he was always had, even from the beginning, there was had the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They had the water, they had manna, everything that they had need of. Their clothes didn't wear out, they didn't get sick, everything was perfect, everything was given to them, everything that they had need of, and yet they couldn't be happy where they were at.
Right.
God had blessed them all the way through, and yet they lacked the comfort of understanding that God was leading them and God was going to lead them through, even though they turned away from God, they went after other things, and yet God kept leading them.
Yes.
Amen. He kept calling them back and bringing them, putting them back on the right path. And, you know, here in the scripture, you know, I've mentioned this many times before, but, you know, I always think about, you know, here's Moses. And when God is speaking to Moses and to the children of Israel, and you see how God always deals with them and was telling them, listen, this is the man I've called him. I've equipped him. This man is going to take you through, and this is the way that I have set everything up. I've given my word to Moses for him to lead you to take care of everything. And yet they turned and murmured against God and against Aaron and against Moses. And yet every single time God was there faithful to them. And you know, in the scripture it tells us that he called it the ark of the testimony. And he, you know, because in the scripture, because it was a testimony against the children of Israel. Because, you know, the scripture tells us that in the had this ark that was made, and it had the two cherubims, and the mercy seat was there, and they would, the high priest Aaron would sprinkle the blood before that, and you know, that's where God would accept them every single year, and he made a covenant with them to lead them, and he covered their sins, and he overlooked them, and he kept leading them in the right path. Right. Now we see that when he had that before there in the Shekinah glory, there were three things, and we know the first one was the two tables of stone, and you know, and the second one was an omer of the manna that fell that he kept in there, and the third one was Aaron's rod that budded. Right. And you know, all three of those things set in that ark and set in the Shekinah glory because it was a testimony. Amen. It was a covenant between God and them to show them that God was going to lead them all the way through. Right. Because in the beginning, God went up in the mountain to speak. Moses went up in the mountain to speak to God because God was going to give him the law. And he went up there with the two tables of stone. And what were they doing in the valley? They were down there getting naked and worshiping idols. And Aaron had built a golden calf, and they were down there committing idolatry. And God was speaking to the prophet to bring him the word. Amen. For them, bring them back to the, bring the word back to them. Amen. And what did Moses do when he came down? He was wroth, and he broke the first set of tables. Yep. The tablets were broken, and God had to send him back up to get another set.
Amen. Right.
And here they are, and here he is feeding them the manna. Every single day, all you had to do was go out and get your portion of manna every single time, and there it was right there at your feet. All you had to do is go out and pick it up. And they said, we loathe this light bread. Yeah. We hate this thing because God was feeding us, and we want something different. You know, there's nobody else in the land that eats this stuff. Yeah. We're the only ones that's getting this and not realizing we're eating supernatural food, and yet here they are. They want something else because of what they've got. Because here they want quail and all these other things, because you know what? We want the leeks and onions and garlics and all the things of Egypt, all the things that we've come away from, and here it is. God is giving them supernatural food, and they couldn't be happy with it. They couldn't be satisfied with what God gave them.
Right.
And here they are, you know, they're arguing over the food, and then they were arguing over who the leadership was, who God had placed in over them to lead them and to minister to them. Well, they couldn't be happy with that because that was because, well, you know, it's just the inside. It's just family. You know, there's always some kind of this or that. You know, we've always got some kind of problem with them. And, you know, it's always with the ministry, you're always going to find some kind of fault, because if that's what you're looking for, that's exactly what you're going to find.
Right.
You know, you'll never be happy unless you realize that it's God in the man,
Amen.
Not in the man.
Amen.
Because you know what? I don't put my confidence in Brother Branham. I don't put my confidence in Brother Wade. I don't put my confidence in that. I put my confidence in the God behind the man, because I believe the man has been called of God. I believe Brother Branham was perfectly vindicated as a prophet in this end time, and I can stand there and put my confidence in what he has to say. I can say it's thus saith the Lord. Not what everybody else says. That's okay. You believe what you want to believe, but I know where I stand and where I'm going to put my faith, because when all the world is shaken, when the world's on fire, I tell you, I know where I'm going to be, because he said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away.
Amen.
So I'm standing on the word of God tonight.
Yes, amen.
And you've got to come to the same place. You've got to come to the place where you're standing on the solid rock, that you've got a revelation
Amen.
For yourself, that you know where you're standing.
Amen.
Because nobody else can give it to you but God.
Amen.
Amen. And then because they were against God's program and who God had called, then he had every tribe bring a rod and put it in the Shekinah before the Ark of the Covenant. And he said which one that God would touch, then that would be showing that God had called those people, right, that group, to lead them.
Amen.
And only Aaron's rod was the one that budded,
yep, right,
and brought forth the almonds.
Amen.
And so when he had that before the Ark of the Covenant, the testimony laid right there. There was the tablets. The first tablets weren't there because Moses broke them because of their idolatry.
Amen.
Here's the second tablets. Here's an omer full of manna that they hated. And it sat right there. And he said, because when the other priests came up, and they had, when they were called in, then he said that stayed fresh all the time. Then he could walk in behind that Shekinah and he could taste,
yeah,
that. Every single one of those priests could go in there and try and taste that manna.
Amen. Right.
See, they hated that, but they were, you know what? Think about that, about Brother Bruce, that, you know, had the opportunity to come into that place. And you know what? Everybody's talked about the manna that fell. You know what? But all of a sudden, now here's your opportunity to step in that and try it for yourself.
Right.
You see people that are all around the world, and you know, they wish they had what we had.
Amen.
You know, we've got rows and rows of books, and you know, we've got all these books and everything in our language. We've got every kind of technology that you want, that you could have and listen to it. And there's people all around the world that don't even have a Bible in their own language.
Right.
They don't even have one message book in their own language.
Right.
And you know what? They would give anything to have what you have.
Amen.
Because there's people that are around the world and they just have one page of the prophet's message.
Right.
And you know what? They think that they've got a gold mine.
Right.
And we carry it around and we don't even highly reverence it as we should. We have the Bible on every kind of app, and we can't take 5 minutes to read one scripture and pray, and we wonder why we're so weak and we have so many problems. It's because we don't take the time to lay in the word, and we don't take time to do exactly what God said for us to do. And then we wonder why things are in the condition they're in. It's because we've not followed the way.
Amen.
And just as they did, here was the opportunity for them to receive those things.
Right.
And God had laid those things up and showed it. Listen, I've been faithful all this way. You didn't have water, and water came from the rock.
Right.
Everything that you had need of. And realize, Brother Branham said that everything that we had need of in this earthly journey was given to us in the new birth.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And sometimes we act like we're the lowest people. We're so defeated. We're so weak, and not realizing that we have everything.
Yep.
That God has given us everything. If you realize who you are tonight, you know what? You're more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Through Him. Even though you don't ever have to pick up a sword, you don't even have to fight, because before you start the fight, it's already over.
Right.
Because you realize before they went into the land of promise, you know what? They had already got the victory, because
right,
God
Amen.
Told them that. All they had to do was go in and
Amen.
Conquer the land.
Amen.
What happened? They went in, they fought in all the battles that they fought in, never lost a man.
Right.
Until sin was found in the camp.
Right.
See, as soon as you get out from under behind the word, when you get out from behind the leadership that God has laid out for you, if you get behind from away from that and get out of order, the next thing you know, there's death.
Yeah, right, man.
That's right.
But if we just follow what God has given us.
Amen.
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 That's all we got to do is follow God.
Amen.
How wonderful it is. See, we understand that here Moses wasn't following the leadership of the Holy Ghost, that God was leading him in all this way. And, you know, all the way through the scripture, here they were in the land of Egypt. And, you know, here they are, they're coming out. Here are the children of Israel to come out. You know, and even Brother Branham was speaking one time, and he was speaking of them being in the land. And you know, and here they are, and they're blessed.
Sure.
Right. But when you realize that when how did they end up there?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, I was reading where Brother Branham, you know, he was talking about Joseph being in the land of Egypt, going down there to save life.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, it's like, well, how did he end up there? He ended up there because God had a plan. Yes, he did.
Right.
There was a plan for God to lead his people out.
Amen.
And he ended up in a place that nobody wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? He knew God was leading him.
Yes.
And here they are. So here's Joseph going down there, being sold into slavery, into bondage, ending up in the slavery, and going through all of the hardship that he went through. But all of these things brought him to a place that he came to the right hand of Pharaoh.
Right.
He brought him all the way through. He came to the place that God wanted him to be, that he could deliver the people.
Amen.
That he was given the word of God to bring the people, that, you know, when the Pharaoh was had the dream and he was wondering what was going to take place, here was Joseph.
Yep, right there. Amen.
That had been overlooked,
yep.
You know, that had been discounted. And yet here he come to, with the word for his day to tell the people, listen, this is what God has for you.
Amen.
You're going to have 7 years of abundance. You're going to have 7 years of famine.
Right.
And now's the time to prepare.
Right.
And, you know, they went into a land that had everything because they had prepared, because God had given Joseph the understanding through the dream that the Pharaoh had to tell him. And he was made number two in the land. Then here they are, and so we see that here they come into this land. They're just living with the people. They're sojourning with the in Egypt. But what does the scripture tell us? In time, there came one who knew not. A king rose up who knew not Joseph.
Amen.
And so you see, here they are. When he rose up, see. And the scripture tells us, you know, he rose up and then he began to look at the people. He began to look at the people and he said, the people are mightier than us. He began to worry about what was going to take place. What are they going to do from here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brother Branham said in the message, Why Cry I Speak, when he was talking about the Pharaohs, he was talking about Ramesses. You know, he said Ramesses didn't care what his fathers had done. He didn't care nothing about what they had done. The Pharaoh had sat on the throne and had seen the famine. He had seen the abundance. He had heard the voice of Joseph that God had given him the interpretation of his dream. He had lived through all of that. He had seen all of that. And he had seen them store up all of the grain where everybody else could survive and live in Egypt. How everybody else wanted to come to Egypt because their garners were full. Because they had everything. But he said when Ramesses rose up, he said he didn't care anything about Joseph.
Right.
He didn't care anything about any of that.
Right.
And here they are. They're living under all these blessings that God had given them, and yet they didn't care anything about that.
Right.
All he was worried about was his political power and what kind of trouble he was going to get into.
Right.
He'd missing all the blessings that had happened. You know, his father and his grandfather, all those that had survived and seen all of that, you know, they still had reverence for Joseph and what he had done for them.
Right.
And yet he came along and he's like, no, we're just going to take over these people. And he started to turn against them and he put them in bondage and he was going to get everything he could out of them.
Yep.
But what was it? The hand of God was there.
Amen. Right. Amen.
And see, people miss that. Here's the hand of God. Why did he raise up the Pharaoh to turn against them?
Right.
Because it was not their designed place to live.
Right.
That was not the place for them to live. That was not God's promise to Abraham.
Amen. Right. That's right. Amen.
God told Abraham, he said, I'm going to take you to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And it ain't Egypt.
Right. Amen.
So they had to turn against them. Why? Because they had to have something to get them out of that land.
Right.
And he began to see all of those things that they had to go through. That God had promised Abraham, every place that you step your foot, you place your foot going through here, he said, all this belongs to you.
Amen.
Abraham, this is my promise to you. And it's to your seed. Everywhere you see all this, he said, look to the north, look to the south. Look all around, all that you see, every place you put your foot, all this belongs to you.
Amen.
He said, walk through it. And it belongs to you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, you know what? We have a promised land. The prophet knows we have a promised land. And you know, he said, just walk through the land. Whatever you have need of, it lays right here.
Amen.
All you got to do is get in there and claim it.
Amen.
Oh, you need healing? Well, you know what? He couldn't do any more for you if he was standing right here tonight than what he's already done for you.
Amen.
Why? Because he said, by his stripes, you were healed.
Amen.
It's a finished work.
Amen.
Everything that you have need of. If you need salvation, you know what? He's already saved you.
Amen.
He's already paid the price. All you got to do is accept it.
Amen.
If you're wanting to receive the Holy Ghost, you know what? He's already poured out the Holy Ghost. All you got to do is receive it.
Amen.
But all you got to do is follow the plan that he gave.
Amen.
Right.
Just follow what God said.
Amen.
What you got to do? Repent.
That's right. Amen.
Well, most people, they don't know what repentance means. You know, and you see how people, they don't understand these things. But see, you have to have somebody to lead you and carry you through these things so you'll understand.
Right. Amen.
That's the reason it's so vital to have a pastor,
yep.
To have a minister.
Right.
See, people lack all these things and they wonder why they're in the condition they are. They don't follow the plan of God.
That's right. Amen.
You know, it's because are you truly sorry? Are you truly repentant of what you've done, or are you just there? You just want to escape hell,
right.
Or just because you got caught and now you're sorry?
Yeah, right.
But true repentance brings a change.
Yes. Amen.
Because something, you know what? Because if you're wanting to get away from something, then you know what? You turn and walk away from that.
Right.
There's an avenue that'll get you away from that.
Right.
To abstain from those things. But you know, everybody, you know, they want to see how close they can get. Well, we just want to get, you know, half in the word and half in the world.
Mm, right.
You know, and you know, we just want to get clean just enough where, you know, our dirt don't show.
Right.
Our sins don't stand out.
Right. Come on, brother.
But you know, he said that if your sins were scarlet, he said he'll wash you white as snow.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Not just some kind of dingy color.
Yep.
But it's going to make you white.
Amen.
Pure and white.
Amen.
That's the standard.
Yes.
And it's like, well, I want to be totally separate from all these things. Well, you know what? It gets to a place where you have to go through some things and face some things. And all of a sudden you realize, I don't want to live like the way I used to live.
Amen.
I don't want to carry the same burdens that I've carried before. I don't want to fight the same battles.
Amen.
I want to get rid of all these things.
Amen. Amen.
And then God can come on the scene and he can deliver you from those things.
Amen. Right.
And say, Lord, I don't want to live the same way.
Right.
I want to have my slate clean. I want to be perfect and perfect in your sight.
Yeah. Amen.
I realize I'm not ever going to be perfect, but I can be perfect in your sight.
Amen.
I can be pure and white. And according to the word, I can be white.
Amen.
Amen.
All the things in the past can be washed away and be forgiven and forgotten.
Amen.
That's where I want to stand.
Amen.
Amen.
And you begin to walk in that and believe that. You know, they said repent and be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, everybody is like, is baptism necessary?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Jesus said it.
Yeah.
Peter said it on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, that's right.
And then everybody's like, well, what about the thief on the cross? And what about this person? What about deathbed confessions? Well, it's like, well, you know what? You're not hanging on a cross.
Nope.
Right.
And you're not on your deathbed.
Right.
So, you know what? We can put them off to the side because that's not who you are. That's not the condition that you're standing
right,
in.
Right.
But are you really desiring to follow what God has to say?
That's right.
What was it like the Ethiopian eunuch when he was standing there talking to Philip? Well, let me go home and think about it. Well, I'll get back to you next week. No, he said, here's water. What hinders me from getting baptized?
Amen.
When the word quickened to him and he saw the word, and you know what? He began to have repentance and wanted to change. He's like, listen, here's water, because what you said, this will take place. Then you know what? I'm going to get baptized.
Yes. Right.
And he said, if you get baptized, he said, he'll fill you with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So all you got to do is follow the plan.
Amen.
And if you'll follow the plan, then you know what? You'll receive exactly what God has for you.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But see, here when the promise was made to Abraham and they began to walk through the land, and here they all began to receive it, and he began to lead. God began to lead him and show him all these things. Well, then when Isaac come along, when he had to have faith for his son Isaac to be born. Here, when Isaac was born, then you know what? God came to Isaac and told him, said, listen, I'm going to be with you just like I was with your father. Because you're a part of that seed. The same promise that was given to your father Abraham rests on you. And when Jacob come along, he done the exact same thing. He told Jacob. Jacob was like, oh, if you would just deal with me like you did with my father's. And he's like, you know what? You're already blessed because you're a part of the covenant.
Amen.
You're a part of the promise.
Amen.
And so I'm going to deal with you because I, as I was with your father Abraham and Isaac, I'm going to be with you.
Amen.
Because the promise lays with you, and it's the same way with you tonight. If you were in the mind of God, if you were an attribute of God and from the beginning, then you know what? Today you still have that promise, and that promise is still in effect.
Amen.
No matter how many times you fall, you get away, whatever takes place, you know what? You're still Amen. Under the blood. You're still under the covenant.
Right.
It's still in effect.
Amen. Right.
Thank God.
Right, brother.
Amen.
We just follow what God has for us.
Amen.
We just keep walking.
Amen.
If we realize what God has blessed us with.
Amen.
And this is not going the way I thought it was going to go tonight, but that's all right. I just wait on the Lord, and
Amen.
The Lord just give us something tonight. But, you know, when you see how God began to bless and he began to lead the people, and all of the promises as they came, and, you know, each one of the fathers, Abraham had his faults and failures, but it didn't change the promise.
No, right.
Amen.
Isaac had his faults and failures, but it didn't change the promise.
Amen.
Jacob had his faults and failures, but it didn't change the promise.
Right. Amen.
Right.
Even Joseph. Here's Joseph coming and going through all the things that he went through. But you know, he was still under the covenant.
Right.
He was still blessed of God.
Amen.
But when he told him, he said, listen, your seed, told Abraham, your seed's going to sojourn in a strange land 400 years and they're coming out.
Amen.
There's a time. There was a set time that they're going to go through all these things.
Right. Amen.
And the scripture says, you know, when you go through hard times, you know, think it not strange when you go through fiery trials and all the things that you go through when you face temptations. Why? The scripture said that you're going to face these
Right.
things.
Right. Amen. Right.
And here they are going down there. Here they are crying out for a deliverer. And Amram and Jochebed was praying and seeking God because, you know what? The scripture said that God told them that they were going to have a deliverer.
Amen.
That he was coming down to deliver the people.
Yep, right.
Here, Brother Ram talks about how Amram come in all beat up and worn down and just wore out every single day from having to deal with the Egyptians. How the taskmasters beat him and just run him down.
Right.
Here, coming in. And, you know, Jochebed praying. And seeing all of the destruction, all the young men, all throughout the children of Israel, all the things that they were going through. But you know what? It did not change the fact that they still prayed.
Amen.
They still were seeking God because your promise, Jehovah, was that you're going to send us a deliverer. And we're still looking for that
right.
deliverer.
Amen.
And not really, you know, here they are seeking God for the deliverer. And God used them to bring forth the deliverer.
Right. Amen.
And here comes the deliverer. And God began to deal with them. And listen, then he brought forth Moses. The delivered for them to come down there.
Yep.
And he's like, well, you know what? And you see all the things. We wonder why things happen the way they do.
That's right.
Here you are. You're struggling to have children. You see all the struggles that everybody has. You know, Amram and Jochebed, they weren't, I don't think they were spring chickens. But you know, here they are living under this promise, under this all of this stress,
right.
all the things that they were living under. And yet here God began to deal with them
Amen. Yes.
to bring forth a son.
Amen.
And at the same time, here she is expecting a child. Believing this is going to be the deliverer. And the Pharaoh's like, we got to kill every child two and under. Because they become so great, you know what? We're going to kill all the children. Got to kill them. Get rid of them. But you know what? I was going to say nursemaids, but the midwives wouldn't kill them. But here they are going through all of that. And when she brought forth Moses and she had weaned him, she put him in the hands of God. Here's the deliverer. Now, how many people would do that? See, you can't raise your children. Oh, I got this great plan. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, buddy.
It's like everything else you do. If you don't have God on your side to help lead you and guide you, you're not going to be able to raise your kids. What'd she do? She stuck him. They put him in that basket and sent him down the Nile. And he ends up right in Pharaoh's house. Here's this little Hebrew being raised in the Egyptian home, being taught everything that the Egyptians know. Becoming a great man in Egypt. But you know what? He never, because his mother kept him on her knee and we began to tell her, listen, you're the deliverer. You're the one that God has called to fulfill his word. And you know, he never got past that. He never got over that. He never lost that. And all of the time that he was there, he just kept going and kept, I'm going to be the deliverer. I'm going to be the deliverer. But you know what? He didn't realize all the hardships and problems and all the crisis that he would face. Because when he got done with that, next thing you know, here he is, you know, killing an Egyptian and stirring up trouble and all the chaos that he created. Right. Why? Because it wasn't God's time. It wasn't God's plan that way.
Amen.
Right. Having learned and become the great Moses there in Egypt. And next thing you know, he's on the backside of the desert herding sheep. Here's God. Where's God at in all this?
Yeah.
God's getting him to the right place.
Right.
Bringing him to the place where he can become the deliverer.
Amen.
That's right.
When God beats all of Egypt out of him, saying, now your time, now it's ready for you to go back.
Right.
See, we go through a lot of hardships and problems, and we wonder why we go through all that, and then it looks like everything flips upside down, and we wonder why we're going through the same problems that we've been through before, and it's like, who can see the hand of God in any of this?
Yeah, come on, right.
Who can see God in it? How's God? But you know what? The scripture tells us that in all things, he said, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Right. So when we see all these things happen the way they do, you know, I don't try to figure it out. All I know is I can put my trust in God because he's the one that's leading me. He's going to have the answers because he guided my steps from the beginning and he will lead me all the way.
Amen.
So here's Moses coming to deliver the people. Even when he said, well, I can't go speak. I don't have this or that. You know what? God didn't take no for an answer. He equipped him to go down there and deliver the people.
Absolutely.
It's your time to go down there, and I'm going to show you and lead you and show you what to do.
Man.
And he delivered the people. Began to lead the people to bring them into the land. But see, all the way through, all the way from the beginning, they turned the word down and God kept bringing them.
Sure did.
Even when they got in the scripture there, where they got to the mountain and God told them, listen, he said, now's the time for you to prepare to go in.
Right.
And they turned the word down. And they stood there and said, oh, you know what? We can't make it because our children are not going to make it. We're so afraid. The Bible says, you know, he said, because you said that your children will be a prey. But he said, your carcasses will rot in the wilderness.
That's right, brother.
But he said, your children will raise up and go in the land.
Yes, amen.
See, there was someone that's going to lead them through.
Yes.
Going to carry them right into the land because the land of promise was for them.
Amen.
The ones that rose up and believed the word of God and began to continue to walk in it, no matter what happened. Those two that went in, the two spies, Joshua and Caleb, when they went into the land, they saw the promise. Yeah. They seen what the land looked like, and they came back with the report that, listen, it's just exactly the way God said it was.
Amen.
Here's the report, and this is the way it is, and we're more than able to take it.
Right.
And even after 40 years of him having to walk around in the desert, and then, but you know what? Caleb's eyes never got away from the vision that he had of going into the land and claiming his promise.
Amen.
Every single year he got older, but you know what? His eyes didn't get dim. He still had the fire. He still had the zeal to go in and take the land because God had promised me that.
Amen.
And when he went into the land, you know, he told Joshua, he said, "Give me my mountain.
Right.
I'm coming because I'm just as good as I was when I walked. You and I walked years ago, walked in the land." He said, "I'm just that good."
Amen.
God promised it to
Amen.
Me. Right. See, we go through things in our lives and we may get older. We may get sicker. We may get weaker. But you know what? God's still faithful.
Amen. Amen.
He's still just as strong.
Yes,
amen. And so, you know, because we say, well, you know, God promises a body change. Well, it's like, well, it may be harder to get out of bed. You may have more problems and everything looks go bleak and you have more problems and the doctor doesn't have any good reports for you. But you know what? That doesn't change what God said.
Amen.
That doesn't change what God's word says.
Amen.
Because if he promised that to you and you believe it, then you know what? He'll carry you all the way.
Amen.
Because you know what? I believe there's going to be some young people that ain't going to make it, but I believe there's going to be some old people that are going to make a body change.
Amen.
I believe that.
Yeah,
I believe there's some people because they have set their eagle eyes on the word of God and they're walking into it and they're going to walk into a change.
Right.
They're going to keep feeding on the word of God and they're walking into their body change.
Amen.
Because I don't believe it's going to be very long until we'll have a body change that we're going to see those that have passed on come into this dimension
Amen.
And we're going to see them.
Amen.
Believe that, brother.
Amen.
I believe that.
Amen.
I believe it's going to take place.
Yes, sir.
You know, I was speaking to a man one time, and he was telling me. He said, "Oh, he said, I just can't believe that." And you know, he said, "I'm just afraid of you know." He said, "That's too spooky for me. I just couldn't handle it." So we're gonna have people that are dead are gonna come back, and I was like, "No, hold on." I said, "No, this is you watch all kinds of." Sci-fi stuff and I said and you're talking about watching movies like Friday the 13th and all of this other, you know, poltergeist and all this other sci-fi supernatural stuff that all of the things that just come straight out of hell, and you watch that and you don't have a problem with any of that. But when somebody starts talking to you about what the scripture says, that there are going to be people come up and why? Because they passed on, because, you know, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he said those that were the saints that were buried back then rose with him and they were seen in the city.
Amen.
They came back.
Amen.
He went and preached to the souls that were in prison that were there from the long suffering days of Noah and had not heard the truth, and he came down and preached the judgment to them.
Amen.
But to those that were in paradise that had listened and believed the word of God, he came and stood there at the door and showed him that, listen, because he stood there, and here's Abraham standing there with Sarah, and here he is standing there and said, "Look, that's the one that we fed the calf to."
Yeah.
Ezekiel standing there saying, "Here's the wheel in the middle of the wheel." When the Hebrew boys were standing there and said, "Here was the fourth man that stood in the fire with us." Why? Because it's exactly the way that who they were, who he was to them, is where they stood, and he showed himself to them.
Amen.
Amen.
It's the same way with you and I.
Amen.
He's going to show you who he is. Show you who you are.
Amen.
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 And it's not to everybody. We realize not everybody's going to see that. Not everybody's going to believe that.
Yes,
he's only to a special class of people.
Amen.
There's only a certain group of people that's going to see that.
Amen.
But you know, you see that what God has led us through and led us to this place, that we have somebody that has went ahead of us.
Amen.
See, we see the world in the condition that it's in. And you know, one of the things I was looking at is, I was watching some of these things and I was reading, and you see the condition that the world is in today. And you know, God has a plan, and he has a law that he has set and forth in the Word of God. And you know, if you just follow that word, if you just follow the plan that God has set forth, then you know what? You'll go to the place that God has called you to.
Amen.
You can receive whatever you have need of.
Amen.
And you know, because we see that the world is in the condition today, we realize that this is you know, because we're in the God of the evil age, and we, you know, this is the Laodicean age, this is Satan's Eden, and we see the condition that the world is in, and they've turned the word down and all the things that have taken place. But you know what? God's word is still in effect.
Amen. Right.
But you see these people, you know, because there's like, well, you know, God has set a man and a woman, and he set the man over as the leader of the home, and to lead the children and the family, you know, to be the leader. And you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, we don't have to have men today, and we don't have to have men to do these things, you know, because it's okay, because you know, women can do everything, and just women can just be the same kind of in the same place that a man can. But you know, there's one thing that a woman cannot do is she cannot be a man. And the one thing that a mother cannot be is a father. See, there's certain things that only take place that if you have those certain jobs, those certain things that God created, you have to follow the way God has set these things in order. And the only way that you're going to come through that is to follow those things. And so you have to, just like he led the children of Israel all the way through and all the hardships and everything they went through, he brought them all the way through. There was a plan and a God-given plan for all of those things. And it's the same way with you and I today. If you realize that wherever you are today, whatever you're facing, God's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. And all you got to do is follow that. Because, you know, many people today, they don't realize that, you know, that it's so important to have a father. Because if you type the natural and the spiritual, because people think, well, you know, God is a God of love and all of this, and you know, he's just so lovey-dovey, he's just some you know, dotey old grandpa and all this kind of stuff. But you know, he's a God of judgment.
Yeah.
He's a God of love, but he's a God of order.
Amen.
So there's a certain place, a certain way that you have to go, and if you don't follow that, you can't get anywhere.
Amen.
And it's the same way with a home. See, children, you see the way that children are growing up today. Brother Branham said it wasn't juvenile delinquency that we have. He said it was parent delinquency.
Right.
Because we don't have godly mothers and we don't have godly fathers.
Amen.
But you know, where does the buck rest? The buck stops with the dads. Because we live in a society that we don't have dads anymore. We don't have fathers. We just have men that, you know, they just want to donate chromosomes and that's it, and they're done. But they don't realize, you know, because if you see the condition that the world is in today, it's because we don't have fathers. We don't have men that's raised up that actually has a backbone to take a stand and lead people in the right way. And you don't have to agree with them. You don't have to listen. You know, you don't even have to listen to them. But you know what? You have to understand that when you've heard the word of God and they've told you the right way and you don't go, then you have to answer to God. Because you see the condition that the world is in today is because men have not taken, number one, men have not taken the stand that they ought to stand. But number two, people have tried to dismiss that. And if you don't listen to it, then you know what? It's your, no, as Paul said, he said, my hands are free of every man's blood. Because when you've done what you're supposed to do, he said, because I'm not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. So when you've done that, then you know what? It's up to you to follow the word of God. Because you see the condition, and I was just looking at some things the other day, and you see all of these, the condition that the world is in today, and you see how many young people are growing up today. They don't have fathers. They don't have father figures. They don't have anybody to kind of lead them. And they, you know, you wonder why they're in the condition that they're in today is because they don't have anybody that'll hold them accountable to the place that they need to be. Because, you know, moms can do so much, and thank God for our mothers. And, you know, I really appreciate mine and all the other mothers. But let me tell you something, there's nothing like having a dad.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
That's right.
There's nothing like a dad that will stand up. Because you know what? There's a certain position that a man has. There's a certain disposition that a man has. And if he's certainly a God-called man and he's a Holy Ghost-filled man, there's something about him that's going to lead you because God's going to use him.
Amen. Right, right.
You see these kids, a number of kids, just give you a few facts because you look at the number of kids that live in poverty all around the world. All these kids live in poverty. In the United States, they said 1 in 4 kids, all these kids are living in poverty. Most of them don't even have fathers. You look at all these kids that are in jail. Juvenile delinquents. How many of them have fathers? Actually had a male figure in their family. They didn't have anybody. How many of them actually, the ones that don't graduate from high school, that don't get an education? How many of them had fathers? You see all the conditions that they live in, they don't have any of these things. And it's like, well, what's the problem? Is that they don't have a father. They don't have a dad.
Man.
And you wonder why people live in the condition that they're in. It's because they've gotten away from having
Amen.
A father.
Right.
Just like Brother Wade was reading the scripture the other day, said in the end time, said that 7 women would take a hold of one man.
Right.
Let us be called to your name, but let us do what we want to.
Yeah.
We're gonna wear our own apparel. We're going to eat our own bread. We're going to do our own thing, but we won't be called by your name.
That's right.
Why? Because this is a woman's nation. This
Amen.
Is a woman's age.
Right.
This, everything all has to revolve around women.
Amen. Right.
But you know what? There's one thing without having dads, without having fathers, you know what? Everybody's like, well, you know, now it's become all about toxic masculinity.
Okay,
toxic. You know what the problem is everybody just wants to get petted.
Yep, that's true.
Right.
It's all about being petted.
Right. True, brother.
Because you see, you know, it was interesting. I was reading some of these things, and I got to thinking about the rebuke that came to the Laodicean age.
Right.
You're poor, you're wretched, you're naked,
right.
You're blind, and you don't know it.
Right.
And you start to look at the condition that the world is in. Why? Because they don't have fathers.
Yep. Right.
And spiritually, the same thing. They don't have fathers. Because there's so many people, they want to have a relationship with, but you know, they want to have a relationship with God. They want to know who Jesus is, but it's me and Jesus got our own thing going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. The only thing that you got going with Jesus is the Word of God.
Right.
And we all have to come the same way.
Amen.
You ain't got your way and I got my way. There ain't 1,000 ways to God.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, no man can come to the Father but by me.
Amen.
There's only one way to God, and there's only one way that you're going to do that, and it's through the Son.
Amen.
Because there's only one pattern that's given.
Right.
You know, I was listening to this man, and this woman was talking about, oh, her husband was too hard on their teenage boys. And he's like, oh, he was just too hard. He's just too hard and everything like that. And so this man was asking her, said, Is he the man of your dreams? Yes. Do you trust him? Yes. Has he ever treated you bad? No. Would you put your life in his hands? Yes. If you would trust him with all of that, then why can't you trust him that he'll help your sons?
Right. Yep. Right.
And guess what? Those boys are his too.
Yep. Right. Man.
Because you know what? He told this lady, he said, listen, he said, I want to tell you one thing. He said, there's one thing that he knows that you don't. And, said, your husband knows how to be a man. Because
yep.
He grew up from a boy
yep.
to a man.
Amen.
Said, a mom never done that.
Right.
It's so important why we have to have fathers.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's so important because, you know, and if you don't have a father, you know what? There, you find somebody there. That's the reason it's so important to live the right kind of example.
Amen.
Don't preach me a sermon.
Right.
Live me a
right.
sermon.
Right.
Why? Because that's what our job is.
Amen.
To take care of the, because the scripture commands us to take care of the widows
Amen.
And orphans.
Amen.
Well, that's not just to make sure that they got food and the lights stay on.
Right.
That's for them to have somebody that's got a godly example that shows them the right kind of life. Because you know what? The devil is always going to show them the counterfeit.
Right.
He's always going to show them the hypocrite.
Amen.
But you know what? It's important for us to be there to show them the right kind of person.
Amen.
When you fall and you fail, then you know what? You stand up and you know, listen, I made a mistake. I done something wrong.
Right.
I got to stand up and admit and take the blame.
Yep. That's right. Man.
It ain't nobody's fault but mine.
Right.
You know, I've stood up here and said that many times. I don't mind taking blame.
Mm-hmm.
If you, Brother Wade's said words to me. We've had our little office visits.
Okay.
But you know what? It's good.
Amen.
Because, you know, I had a sister one time. She was talking about her and her husband. They were going through some troubles and everything. And she was talking about that. And, you know, I was like, well, you know, I just hate to go to the pastor about this. Because, and it's like, well, you know what? Because my pastor may look at my husband differently. And I was like, well, if he's Holy Ghost filled, and if he looks at your husband differently, then he's the one that needs to be in the altar.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
That's right.
Because you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God, all of us would be there.
Amen.
Amen.
And I told her, I said, I want you to know one other thing. Brother Branham had to get rebuked. Brother Branham talks about it multiple times. The angel of the Lord come to him and rebuked him.
Right.
God rebuked him.
Amen.
For the things that he did not do.
Amen.
And I said, and you know what? There's nobody anywhere in the bride that's higher than the prophet.
No.
Right.
And if Brother Branham got rebuked for the things that he did and did not do,
right,
then guess what? You and I are all going to have our times.
Right.
Because you know what? If we can't stand chastisements, then you know what? We're illegitimate.
Right. Right.
The scripture says we're bastards and not sons.
Right.
See, each one of us has to go through those things. It's not pleasing. It's not fun. It's not anything you want to go through. But you know what? It's for our good.
Amen.
And so when you see these things that children have to go through and all the things that they went through, then you realize this is what God has called us to do. To help those.
Yes.
And see, you understand what if you look at in the condition that the world is in today, it's like, well, we just blow from pillar to post and we don't have to have anything. It's just, you know, whatever. Mm. And you wonder, and you see that's the way the church is today.
Right.
And God forbid it's in the message today.
Yeah.
You got people that float from one place to the next. They ain't got a pastor. They ain't got nothing. And it's just like, we're up one day and we're down the next and we just push play and just on this way and on that way and just swaying in the wind, and they got no root. They got nothing.
Right. Nope. Right, brother. Amen.
And why? Because they've not followed the plan of God.
Amen.
Right.
They've not followed what God has laid out.
Right. Amen. Right.
But if you follow what God has called us to do,
right,
then have headship and have leadership, then you know what? Then you come to that place.
Right.
Amen.
Right. It's like, oh, you know, there's only one voice to speak. We only have one voice. We don't have voices. And you know what? That is. We've got one voice. And that voice is the voice of God. And guess what? He's got many mouthpieces. But it's still the voice of God. All the way down through history. All through the scripture. He had one voice. It was the voice of God speaking. And the one way that you can always tell is because if you're following what God said, then you know what? It lines up with what God said.
Amen.
Right.
Because when you go back and look in the Old Testament prophets, here they are. They take the things that was said before and they line up exactly what they had to say with what the prophets came before.
Right. Yes.
And so you see how all this lines up perfectly. And if we can follow that, then we can go to the right place.
Amen.
Because people wonder why, you know, they want to have greater churches and all these things. Well, you know what? It starts in the home. How many times does the prophet tell us it starts in the home? Why? Because it starts with the fathers. It starts with the parents. You know, because he said, you know, how many times have brethren talked about, you know, they're out, dad's out doing this and mom's out doing that. They've never seen their parents read the Bible. They've never heard them pray. They never prayed with them.
Right.
And I know I fall short. But you see all these things because you wonder why things happen the way they do is because they've not followed the plan of God. But God has a plan. He has a way for us to go. And if we can just follow that, then, you know, we can overcome all the things that God has called us to.
Amen.
To bring us to the place that God wants us to come to.
Yep.
See, if you understand what God wants from us. I thank God for my dad.
Amen.
My natural dad. My dad, you know, I'm just going to tell this, but, you know. I have to say one thing about my dad. My dad was always fair, and I think he tried to keep his word. And because he said, I'm gonna knock you into next week, he done everything. He done his dead level best to knock me into next week. He was fair. And the one thing about my dad was, of anybody that I've had in my entire life, that was my supporter. Was my dad.
Yeah.
And you've got to come to a place, you've got to grow up, and you've got to step out on your own.
Right,
you've got to start walking on your own.
That's right.
There's a time because you can't just coddle them all their lives, and you know, they're not just going to be six or seven their entire life.
Yeah.
You know, you got kids that are 6 or 7 years old and then when they grow up to be 36 and 37 and you're still treating them like they're 6 or 7, there's a problem.
Amen.
Because, you know, there comes a time when they get to a certain age, they've got to be able to take care of themselves. They've got to stand up and take responsibility for themselves. They've got to do the things that they need to do for themselves. And that's one of the things that God allow, you know, that does God does for us. You've got to grow up.
Uh-huh.
He wants you to get off the milk.
Yes. Amen.
You got to start growing.
Amen.
He starts getting you out of the nest. He starts throwing the rabbit fur out. You got to get out of the nest. You got to learn how to fly.
Amen. Amen.
You can't be up here all the time.
Right.
We're not going to chew all the food for you and put it in your mouth.
No.
Right.
Right, brother. Amen.
There's a time you got to learn how to hunt on your own. See, all of those things that you have to go through. I was watching this thing, and this lady was on there, and she had been in school all of her life, and so here she is. She just graduated from college, got her new job, and all of a sudden, you know, I started in kindergarten, and I had my summers off. First grade, I had my summers off. Got into all the way to high school, had my summers off. Went to college, had my summers off. And now she got a job. She's graduated. She's in her 20s. She's been on the earth almost a quarter of a century. She comes in, and then she's like, I got to work during the summer? I don't get my summers off? Like, what planet are you living on? It's like, do you not, you know, your dad, your entire life, you know, your dad, your entire life, ever since you were born, he's worked year round.
Yeah.
Your mom, when she worked all year round.
Right.
And guess what? Now that you've grown up, you're not a kid anymore. You're going to be working all year round.
Hey.
You got to learn how to take care of yourself. See, you got to get off. You got to wean yourself and get off the bottle. You got to move on. You got to start growing up. And it's the same way in the spiritual, because you know, the people have not grown up. They're still battling the same thing. They still go around the same thing and still complain about the same thing. And they're still going around and around and around. And there's no growth.
Amen.
Why? Because you've not, because you see these people and there's no growth. Why? Because they've never sat under a ministry. They've never sat under anybody to grow, to have anything, to have somebody that, to be accountable to. And it's not just the Holy Spirit, but it's a man that God works through to speak to you.
Amen.
Because you know what? It's so easy when you get to pick which sermons you want to listen to. You know, I remember Brother Hal Thomas. Brother Hal, years ago, he was talking about this man was teaching Sunday school, and I think it might have been a Baptist church or something, but Brother Hal was talking about this man was up there teaching Sunday school, and there were certain passages of Scripture the man wouldn't even read. Right. Teaching Sunday school in the Bible. Acts 2, he wouldn't even read.
Yeah. Right.
Skipped certain verses. He was a certain parts of the Scripture he didn't want to read.
Right.
It's like, you know what? I can tell you what your problem is. When you start skipping certain passages of Scripture because you don't want to read them, well, that's where your problem is.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? It's real easy to skip all of that and say, well, you know, it's not important to go to church. Well, you know what? Hebrews 10:26 says different.
Yes.
Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and that much more as you see the day approaching.
Right.
Wow. Amen.
That's true, brother.
Well, that's not in my Bible. But you know what? You'll still meet it at the day of judgment. Well, that's free. I won't charge you for that one. But that's the way it is. See, all of the things that we go through, all we got to do is see what God has laid before us and just follow that.
Amen.
And God has given us everything that we have need of.
Yes,
amen.
Now, we don't want to, you know, it's hard sometimes to face the things that God has called us.
Sure.
Because, you know, we just want somebody to pet us all the time and tell us everything's good and everything's okay. But you know what? God's going to put somebody in your pathway.
That's right.
Sure will.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sure will.
And they're going to lead you in the right way.
That's right. Amen.
And you know, I had four men. I'm talking about my dad, and I had four men that God placed in my life that have really been a blessing to me. And when I look at fathers, there's four men beside my dad, there was three other men that have really just been solid in my life that I can't really convey what they've meant to me.
Right.
And one of them was Pop.
Yep. Yep.
Brother Dale.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You know, you just can't put in words what he meant to me, what he's done for me in my life,
yes,
what
sir.
God's done through him.
Amen.
To see where we are today, you wouldn't be where I'm at. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for him.
Amen.
Amen.
And the other one, and I like to give a rose while they're still here. Not to say anybody's going anywhere, but it's nice to honor people. And the other one is Brother Donnie Fallbush.
Yep. Amen.
I tell you what, Brother Donnie, he's been a real blessing to us, and he's helped me out a lot in my lifetime, and he's been a real, real help to with our boys and him and Sister Susan. They've really been another set of grandparents, and they've really been just an absolute blessing, and we really appreciate them.
Amen.
And then I had a 10th grade, I had a math teacher named Danny Seaver. And I still talk to him every now and then. And I tell you what, he told me one day, he said, he met my parents, and he said, you know, your mom and dad are so much like my mom and dad. And, you know, it was just like this kindred spirit. And I tell you what, when you wonder why in life and at times, kids, teenagers, they go through these times in their life. It's like, nobody understands me. I'm on this island. But you feel like your parents are always against you. And it's like, I just need one friend in the world. I'm just looking for one friend. Not a group. I just need one person. Well, I went through that There were times in my life where I felt like I was all by myself. And God sent Danny Seaver, my math teacher. And I tell you what, when you go through some dark places in your life, God will send a light your way.
Amen.
And, you know, I've told the story before. Growing up, I struggled with math. There was this disconnect. I struggled with math. And Danny Seaver, all of a sudden, God used him to turn the light on.
Amen.
I mean, you know, some people, you know, go to school to learn how to teach. There's people that have a gift.
Right. Yeah.
God, I mean, they have a gift in their life to teach. He had a gift. And the way he broke math down, and it was just amazing. The other thing that he done I thought was real interesting was when we took tests and we studied at different times, he played classical music. You know, they say that helps with the brain. And I got to the point where years ago I could listen to Tchaikovsky or Mozart or, you know, the different ones, Beethoven and certain ones. If you'd start playing them, I could tell you who the composer was. There were several composers I knew that I could just listen to them. And you just play any part of a symphony or something, they start playing it. You listen to that enough, and you begin to understand the way they construct their music. And everybody's like, it all sounds the same. Well, after a while, your ear begins to discern those things. And it's the same way with Scripture. And it's the same with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So, well, it all sounds the same. It's all confusing. No. You begin to listen. You stay in the Word. You begin to discern those things. And it all sounds the same to somebody else. But you know what? You listen to it, and one of these days it begins to speak to you.
Absolutely.
It begins to minister to you.
Amen.
And everything that Brother Branham will say, or everything the preacher will say, you'll start reading in the Scripture.
Yeah.
Right.
And every bit of that's your life.
Yes.
Amen.
And it's like, wow, that's written for me.
Right.
And you know what? And you'll see that in the Scripture one day, and it'll never be the same. I've read Scripture so many times in my life, and it's just blank. And now I read Scriptures, and I can never read them the same way as I used to. Because God has spoken to me, and it's opened up to me, and I can never see it the same way before. It just opens up like, wow. And you try to stand there, and you talk to people sometimes, and you try to tell them what you see in the Scripture. And you might as well be talking to the wall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not been open to them.
Right.
But blessed are your eyes,
yeah,
for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear.
Amen.
Amen.
And I thank God that God has given that to us.
Amen.
I thank God that He has placed people in our lives, ministers in our lives,
amen,
to bring the Word to us.
Yes.
That we can walk in the light of God's Word.
Yeah.
I have confidence in that.
Yes.
I'm not afraid. I'm not worried about all these things. But you know what? If I hear somebody preach something, if the Holy Ghost is inside of me, that thinking man filter is here.
Yep.
The power, the spirit of discernment's here. I'm not worried about getting deceived. Because he said, if it was possible, and the elect would be deceived. But it's not possible.
Right.
Oh, you might get confused here and there, but you know what?
Sure.
One of these days, He's coming to bring you the eye salve of the Word.
Amen.
Right.
And He's going to open up these things, and He's going to show you where you're standing.
Amen.
Amen.
Believe that.
I'm following Jesus one step at a time.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I'm following, because He's got a pathway for us to walk.
Right.
And I thank God for that.
Yeah.
Amen. God bless you. Let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come. Amen. God has blessed us.
Yes. Amen.
So, well, I've got questions. I don't know which way to go. Well, you know what? He's here tonight to show you which way to go.
Right.
to give you an answer.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I've come to church, Brother Bruce, and I didn't get an answer.
Sure.
But you know what I got? I got peace. I got a peace down inside of me. It's like, I don't know which way it's going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. But you know what? God's in control.
Amen.
And in His time and in His season, He's going to give me the answer.
Amen.
He's going to show me which way to go. I don't know which way to go. But you know what? I've put it in His hands and I know it's settled. And we've got that peace that passes all understanding.
Yes. Amen.
And that's all you got to do is put your trust in Him. And He's going to lead you and show you which way to go. And sometimes I realize, you know what? If Brother Bram said, if you had a question, He's ordained of God to put a man behind this pulpit,
right.
Behind this sacred desk,
Amen.
And He'll speak to your situation.
Right.
And He'll give you the answer that you have need of. And it's like, you wonder why you see things happening. It's like, wow, that was so good. And you realize, He's speaking to me. I've preached places and I've had people come up to me. I had one brother come up to me one time years ago and he told me, he said, brother, he said, when you come to the house, just knock on the door, come on in. And I was like, what? Never met the brother before, didn't know him. And he told me, he said, everything that you preached tonight, he said, was what we talked about at the house. And he said, there was questions that we had and he said, you answered them. And I said, so when you walk out in faith, sometimes you don't know which way you're going.
Right.
You don't know which way to go or how things are to go. But all of a sudden, God will speak back to you and show you that you were going the right way because you spoke to them. And it's like,
right. This
is where I was supposed to be. Because right. That brother was talking about, you know, it was so good to be in church tonight because I was here and God spoke to us and answered our questions. And
sure. It's
like, this was because he realized, hey, this was my service. I was supposed to be here tonight to hear this because I got something out of it. And you realize this is where you're supposed to be. And it's like, well, you know, sometimes it gets all jumbled up and it don't go the way that you think it ought to go. But, you know, if God's in it, He'll put it exactly the way it needs to go. And He'll speak to each heart. And you'll receive what you have need of.
Amen.
God bless you. Let's sing.
Praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised, and I sing praises to your name. Praise.
bless you. Enjoy that. Let's give our brother a hand clap of praise. Amen. We love Brother Aaron. We appreciate him. We want to gather all the, I tell you now, next week, well, actually Friday, right? Y'all leaving Friday?
Early Saturday.
Early Saturday morning. Now, there's a bunch of people going, a bunch of y'all youngins, and some of y'all old ones are going to BYC camp. So we beyond popular belief in some of the message realms, we believe in our kids going to youth camps. I'd rather them go to youth camp. Now, I've heard people say, well, they go there to find their husband. And you'd rather find them there or at a bar?
That's it. That's right.
Or at school. I'd rather them find them where there's at least they've got some structure. Right. Sister June and I were 8 years in Alabama. We were the counselors, and we saw many, many people. Number one, saw their life changed. But number two, we saw a lot of people that got together and now are serving the Lord and married and having children. So we sure do appreciate those that do put forth an effort to have the youth camps. And BYC is one of them, and we always send the people, send the kids. And they got a big van, and Brother Joe's going to drive some, and Sister Rachel's going to drive some. So, but we're going to all, the ones that are going, I want to have you come up here, and we're going to pray before we go. And all of you that are going, you going? Y'all going? Oh, they're going. Okay. All right. Come on, Jonah. Come on up here. Be going. David, come on, brother. You part of us, brother. We want to pray over them. We're going to give Brother Joe and Sister Rachel prayer cloths. Put them in that van. We believe in prayer cloths in this church, do we not?
Amen.
We've seen cancer go away.
Yes, sir.
We've seen people healed.
Amen.
Instantly.
Yes, sir.
Healed. By praying over these cloths and laying them. Brother Danny? Kept one under his watch that whole time he was in bad shape. And fell off a chicken house. And we are going to pray over these. We believe in Acts 19. So we believe that this is what it is. We believe all of you are going to have a wonderful time. You're going to be safe. There's three more going, right? Yeah.
Brother Anderson.
Hmm?
Brother Anderson's driving too.
Where's he at? Get up. Oh, you got to go. Oh, you. Okay. Okay. He's got to run the internet. But leave it alone. Just leave it in there. It'll do it. It'll worry itself.
Yeah.
But we're going to pray, and I want all of us to pray together that they'll have a wonderful time, that the Lord will do something in their life, and we sure appreciate our youth, and we thank all of you for supporting it and putting forth an effort to go. Brother Joe and Brother Anderson, Sister Rachel and Sister Anna there, my goodness. They'll have some good company. We sure do appreciate them. So let's bow our heads and let's just pray over these prayer cloths and pray that everything will be done for their honor and the honor and glory of the Lord, and they'll make it safely there and back.
Amen.
Amen. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, there's many hours being spent up there now, Lord, getting the camp ready. Lord, I've been part of it for many, many years, not that one, but different ones, and we know what the effort is. Lord, I pray, number one, that you'll give them strength up there at the camp, Father. Lord, the ones that are speaking, Father, I pray that you'd give them the words of eternal life to speak to each one. The hearts that are going to be there, Lord, some of them are going to go with trouble. Some are going to go with trials and tribulations. Some of them are going to go that are not even saved. But Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll come down, Lord, and that you'll come into those services, Lord, and touch their young heart. And Lord, that you'll get them before Satan does. And Lord, may they worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, be with our group that's going, Lord, that are going to chaperone, Lord. I pray that you'd give them strength, keep them awake while they're driving. Give them a good time in you, Father, and get them back here. Father, we pray for the van that they're taking, Father. That everything will be, Lord, working for your honor and glory. That the wheels, as they turn, Lord, there'll be guardian angels all over that van, Lord, as it goes and comes back, Father. We believe in you, Lord. We believe that we're doing what we're supposed to do, Lord, as much as we can for our youth. And I pray that you'll honor that, Lord, with them having a wonderful time and they come back together, Lord, and be blessed beyond measure. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Yeah, we've got several others going. How many more is going? Three more are going, so the van's going to be full. Then three more sisters going from here. Morty and the two girls. Yeah, okay. All right, so that's what's going. So let's keep them in prayer. We're going to try to get them back before July the 4th.
Should be back that Friday.
Okay. You'll have just enough time to rest and then come to the meeting July the 4th. But God bless you. Go back to your seats. But thank you all for coming. We appreciate your support. We really do. You want to get it? Okay. Are you drunk? Oh, okay. All right. We already prayed. Okay. All right. So let's pray for the ones that are taking them. We sure do appreciate them taking time. Remember that this coming Saturday, you saw it on the screen, but Brother Ravi Ramsing has asked me to come and speak on Saturday at 5 o'clock. So, and I got to work Saturday, so I work for the post office. So I'm going to have to work, and then we're going to jump in the car just kind of like we did last Saturday and just fly to where we're going. Drive slow where we're going. But come and visit. The address is on there. It's about a four-hour drive from here, four-hour drive, according to how traffic is. But we sure would appreciate it. Some of you, I know, you said you wanted to come. So just come and be with us. And then Sunday, regular service, just as usual, we'll be speaking. We'll have all the Sunday school classes and everything for this Sunday. And then next, July the 4th. All right, July the 4th. And on July the 4th, as I tell our brother a story, a little history, July the 4th, 1971, is when this church started. On a Sunday, there was a door right here, two windows, pulpit was there, the seats were here, and the wall was right there where that big beam is. That's all the church was. It was an old store building. His dad came on and became one of the song leaders there, and we got a lot of history. But anyway, January 1st, 1971, we had our first church service. So this year, January the 4th, will be on a Saturday, which is okay, but that'll be our 55th anniversary. And we're going to have it catered, but it's going to be July the 4th food. Brother White, it's going to be hot dogs, hamburgers, and watermelon. But we're going to have it catered. So we've always done it. We've always, July the 4th, are close to it. But July the 4th falls on Saturday at 3 o'clock. Brother Nathaniel Green will be here from North Carolina. And then on Sunday, Brother Mike Olteague, one of my fathers in the gospel, since my dad's passed on, he will be here Sunday at 10 o'clock, regular service. So come and be with us. And pray that everything will work out okay and all the people there will get back, and we'll have a wonderful time. Good to have our brother and sister and their family with us tonight. We appreciate all of you. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Fall in love with Him. All the other things will take care of themselves. You'll just fall in love with Him first. Then everything else will work out. So let's bow our heads. Also, make sure you tell Brother Aaron how much you enjoyed the service tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening you give us, Lord, for the words that we've heard, Lord. May they sink deep in our heart, Father, that you are truly our Heavenly Father. You make no mistakes. You're never where we can't find you. You're always with us, Lord. And thank God that we have also natural fathers that lead us and guide us, Lord, while they're here. But when they pass on and leave this world, Father, you give us fathers in the gospel. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one, Father. Bless the ones that are not here, that are sick. Be with Mom, Lord, and give her strength, Father. And be with the other ones, Lord, that are traveling, vacations and different things. Lord, I pray that you'd be with them. Give us this day our daily bread, Father. Forgive us of our sins. Bless us, Lord, as we come back together, Father, to worship you, Lord, on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
And I think